It's Golden Hour Adventure Time, featuring everyday people doing extraordinary things. From the peaks of victory to the valleys of defeat, these are their stories. Now, from the back of the pack, your hosts, Justin and Robbie.
Hey, welcome to the podcast today. Today we have a pretty sweet ultra runner. His name is Mason Woolriggett. I had to practice that one a lot in the before. No, it's Mason Wright, the buff runner on Instagram. I'm sure you've seen him running with his shirt off a lot, putting all of us heavier back of the pack runners to shame. So,
hey, who says I'm still not a heavy back of the pack runner?
Well, welcome to the podcast, Mason.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, you actually reached out to us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, we've had a few people that reached out to us like, hey, I'd love to come on and tell my story. And I think that's kind of, that's neat to me. Hey, Robbie and I don't have to do any work to it. It's like, hey, yeah, let's get you on. Sometimes scheduling people is 90% of the battle of doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was cool. So why did you want to come on the podcast? Like, what drove you to Golden Hour Adventures?
Yeah, I mean, just like love the content, you know, and I love the, I just love listening to everybody's story when it comes to ultra running. It's such a unique sport that I think just kind of like, you kind of get, there's different lights that get shown on it. And I think it's something that is so unique and individualistic that I think it's just cool to hear everybody's story. And, you know, so everything that I'm doing right now and hoping to accomplish, you know, hoping to share that story as well. And I thought it just was a good fit.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Cool. Well, talk to us about how you got into ultra running.
Yeah. So I used to be a big boy. I used to weigh 285 pounds. I was a big football player. Was not a runner. I ran a mile when I was forced to at school, and that was about it. And, not a runner at all. Graduated high school and, you know, had a handful of football scholarships, track scholarships, and wanted to focus on school. I was going to go to medical school. In the end, I actually ended up getting accepted to dental school and switched careers. That's a lot later, but I didn't know what to do. I just was still a big guy and just was like kind of working out. And my wife's family invited me to run a Spartan race. And I was like, all right, I'll run a Spartan race. Like, you know, I can run a 5K. I'll train for it. And so I lost a bunch of weight. So I ran the Spartan race, fell in love with Spartan racing, ended up, you know, getting to where I am now weight wise and actually raced professionally there for a little bit. And some stuff just in the Spartan world. And it was COVID that actually sent me.
You can't glass over racing professionally.
I mean,
you got to go into that. Like, oh, you know, I was a professional racer. Let me, yeah. COVID. Like, no, come on. We're not going to let that one slide.
Yeah. It was very, very short. It was a very short stint. Like I ran a bunch of Spartan races and then decided like, oh, hey, maybe I can do this at the next level. So I did a couple of pro races. I didn't get very far with it. I did qualify and race in the world championship in 2019, and got 17th, but, that lasted just in 2019. And then COVID hit. So that's why I glossed over. It was such a quick stint, you know?
You know, 17th in the world. That's yeah.
Losing my train of thought. COVID hits, and I just kind of like didn't really know what to do. And right before COVID things were kind of shutting down. Races are starting to get canceled. My buddy just got done river rafting the Grand Canyon. And he did the Colorado all the way down, and then they just hike out the Grand Canyon, and they go down to Phantom Ranch and hike out. And I was like, oh, dude, that'd be really cool to run the Grand Canyon. I knew nothing about ultra running at the time. And he was like, dude, go do it. So 2-3 weeks later, I just packed a bag and went and ran the Grand Canyon. fucked me up. It totally fucked me up. But that is what started, because I absolutely fell in love with it. And from there, most of what I have done has been personal, like not sanctioned races. I've actually only done one official ultra, quote unquote.
Really?
Yeah, because everything I've done has just been, you know, running the Grand Canyon, running King's Peak, going out and running, you know, 50 miles, just doing crazy shit like that.
What was your official race?
Whiskey Basin.
Oh, okay.
Yep, Whiskey Basin.
What was that one?
60 miles.
Okay.
60 miles. That's actually my furthest distance so far. I'm hoping to hit 100 miles this weekend. But so I just started running, doing crazy things like the Grand Canyon, running the tallest peak in Utah, and taking on these big events like that, and just kind of snowballed from there. I ran Whiskey Basin. Actually tore my posterior tib running Whiskey Basin.
Shit.
Yeah, that sucked. I ran 40 miles with it torn. It was god awful. I was on pace to get top 10 in that race, and ended up getting second to last.
You couldn't have got the job done and got DFL, bro. Like, come on.
Nope. I failed in that department. But it was rough, man. It was rough. I hobbled for 40 miles, tore at mile 20, and I hobbled for 40 miles. I feel like it was a good, true introduction to like the actual, like doing actual races. There's a different atmosphere to it, you know? Now here we are. You know, I was out for a minute there. I jumped back into Spartan Racing for a stint. I got second place in Hawaii, 2022. And then 2023, I had some weird health stuff. I was supposed to run the Grand Canyon again and some other, I was supposed to do Speed Goat and a couple of other ultras here and there. But I had some just really weird health stuff that just didn't fit the running those long distances. I was still running plenty, but not ultra distances. But now we're back and ready to go.
Yeah. You know, you talk about your injury at Whiskey Basin. Like, what do you think, in your opinion, like drives the trail and ultra runner guys to keep going like that? Girls, guys, and gals as well.
Yeah.
'Cause I see it all the time. It's like, you know, nothing against the marathoners, but like I see, you know, like, oh, I something happened. I stopped running the race, but like I've been the same, like something's happened in a race and I'm just like, we'll just deal with it and keep going. Like you're the same way. And I'm sure something's happened with Robbie as well, but it's just like, what do you think drives the trail and ultra runners to keep pushing like that?
I mean, it's all mindset. I mean, you know, this, everything with ultra running is mindset. Like if you go into a race with a bad mindset, odds are you're going to DNF. It's just, you know, it's all mindset. But I think that there's just something. I mean, to be completely honest, we're all mentally ill. there's just something that has just like clicked for ultra runners that I just don't think it's unlocked until you pass that 30, 40 mile mark in running. You know, so there's just something that kind of clicks in ultra runners that everybody can unlock. It's just a matter of unlocking it in one way or another, whether that's trauma from your past, which I feel like is a pretty standard experience for most ultra runners. And, or it could just be you just wanting to better your, find something new and unlock some potential that, and again, that's why people sign up for ultra marathons. They don't sign up for it because they're going to get a fun medal at the end. I mean, we love the fun medals, but you know, there's something else you're trying to achieve with ultra running that you can't achieve in a marathon. You can't achieve in a 5K, and nothing against those races. It's just, there's something else with ultra running. And so when you sign up, you're like, I'm going to finish this shit. And so you just keep going because that's, you know, you signed up to finish that run and try and unlock something new. And I was dumb to continue, to be completely honest. There are moments when DNFing is okay. And this was one of them, but, cause it put me out for almost a year. But you know, like it's, again, it's just that it's all mindset.
Robbie, did you like that? I asked a you question.
You did. I liked it. when you were off for that year, were you mad at yourself for finishing the race?
No. You know, it's I don't even think bittersweet, you know, encompasses it. Like I was mad at myself, but at the same time, I'm like, fuck yeah, I finished that race. Like what a story, you know, like yeah, mile 20, you tear a very, very important tendon in your leg that helps you with running and then continue to go for 40 more miles. You know, it's like having that story is so cool. If I can go back, I don't think I'd take it back, but I also understand how stupid I was for continuing because it did. It put me out for almost a year. I didn't run for almost 6 months. Like it was, I got told by doctors I'd actually never run again. And if I did, I'd just be a hobbling old man. So, you know, it's this weird, again, it's not bittersweet, but I think you guys are kind of getting what I'm saying here.
Yeah. Yeah. And now here you are swinging middle finger in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Throw a little Kid Rock reference.
Oh yeah.
Nothing can stop me.
Well, talk about, you know, you got back into Spartan and then like, where did that go past the start Spartan?
Yeah. So, so 2022, I jumped back into Spartan, I knew I wasn't ready to get back into ultra running. 2021 was my injury. Just again, like your posterior tib is, I mean, it is usually something that puts people out forever. I did a bunch of rehab and a bunch of stuff. You can't get surgery on it. You just have to deal with the pain. But if you do enough rehab and therapy, it'll kind of fix itself if you do it right, which now I'm all good and we're golden. But I knew I wasn't ready to jump into, you know, running 50 miles, 100 miles, whatever at that point. And so I was like, I need to continue racing. So let's jump into some Spartan races. So, you know, that's my bread and butter, you know, I'm the buff runner. And so it fits really well because I might not be the fastest guy on the course, but I am one of the strongest on the course. So it, you know, Spartan works really, really well for me because I might not outrun them, but the second we get to the 300-pound tire flip, I flip the tire and they're there for 10 minutes trying to flip the tire. So I can catch up in those moments. And so, yeah, I just went back cause it was my bread and butter. I was good at it, but now, you know, ultra running is just, I love it. I love running. If I could run for 24 hours a day, every day forever, I would, but we all know that's obviously not possible. And so, yeah, it kept me busy. That was kind of the whole point was to keep me busy, keep that competitive edge going. And then knowing that I would come back to ultra running, I had the Grand Canyon planned and I had Speak Up planned. I had a couple of other ultras planned going into 2023. So yeah, that's why we jumped back into Spartan.
Nice. Now, do you think you'll still continue doing Spartan with ultra running or is it,
you know,
ultra running's the king?
Yeah, I think I've kind of lost like, desire to run Spartan races, if that makes sense. Like it's kind of the same thing over and over again, if that makes sense. Ultra running, there's always something new. And, you know, not that there isn't new courses I can run and different things like that. I just think I'm just kind of over the sport. You know, I've had my moment. But with ultra running, there's just so much to explore and so much to do, you know, and I feel like that kind of leads into what I'm doing now with, you know, Project 3434 and doing all these different things like, shit, I can run across the whole country, you know, like these are things that you just like, there's always something. It feels like bigger with ultra running. And I love that. Like I'm always searching for that like next big thing to accomplish. And Spartan, it's kind of fizzled out. There isn't exactly, besides, you know, trying to win it all. I know that's never going to happen. I'm just not that fast. You know, I weigh over 200 pounds. Like I understand my limits. And so I've kind of like capped out there, if that makes sense.
Backing up a little bit. When you were at your heaviest, like what did you do to lose all your weight?
Yeah, I mean, part of it was being in school and being super poor. you know, poor ass college student that can't afford to eat food, but you know, it was just working out, running. I've always been very into nutrition. I'm actually currently in doing my clinicals to become a dietitian. That was my career switch there, that I talked about at the beginning, but, yeah, so nutrition's been a really big thing for me. So I just really dove into the nutrition and making sure I was eating the right foods, and eating as much of the right foods as I could. Again, being a poor college student, there's limits to all of this, but, and then just exercising. I just ran and I lifted, and that's what I have continued to do since then, is I run and I lift. You know, again, the nickname Buff Runner came from some friends back home in Utah, and they, you know, they gave it to me because, you know, I go out and I'll run, do this crazy shit, but then I can go, you know, deadlift 500 pounds. I can bench, I can rep 315 on bench. Like, I'm able to lift really heavy weight and also run. And I think having that muscle mass helps so much with weight loss. I think people get, when you're, I know this is kind of a side tangent, but when you, people get hyper fixate on the cardio with weight loss, when in reality, if you really want to lose weight, you need muscle mass to increase your basal metabolic rate. So you burn more calories for when you do cardio, you're going to burn more calories, which does make nutrition during ultra marathons much more difficult for me, but you know, we make it work. But yeah, so, you know, that combination of running and lifting and just eating the right foods.
Sweet. You talked a little bit about your project coming up. Let's jump into that.
Yeah, so Project 3434. 3434 stands for the total miles of running across America. We're doing this, you know, we're starting in Seattle and we're going to end in Miami Beach. This is in 2026. I know I'm scheduling it out far for several reasons, you know, between social media, funds, I'm still in school, training for it. You know, a lot of people just kind of like go out and do it, but I wanted to kind of build into it and, you know, not just build the hype for it, but really get behind the cause that we're doing this all for. I partnered with a foundation called the Single Parent Project. They're an organization that helps support single parents in need. My mom was a single mom. The majority of my childhood, she got remarried when I was 8, but he ended up passing away a few years later. So again, the majority of my life has been, you know, I've had a single mom. And so it's something where I've seen how hard single parents work, and being able to give back to that in some way, because it's something that, like, you know, my mom's not asking me to, you know, repay her or get back to that, but I feel like it's just something that I need to do. And giving back to the community as a whole, I think is the best way to do that. Because again, single parents are one of the most overlooked, forgotten about groups of people because they just get the shit done. They just do it, you know? And I think it ties in with ultra running really well too, because it's like ultra runners just get the shit done. And you just continue to take that one more step. And that's what single parents do every single day, but they don't get a medal at the end of the run. There is no end of the run. It's just something that continues. And so being able to help and support a population like that is really important to me, just because of, you know, my childhood. And so that's what we're doing all of this for, and all of the events that are a part of it. You know, I have the 24-hour run this weekend. I don't know when you're releasing this episode, but if it gets released after this weekend, then, you know, it's passed. But, you know, we have the 24-hour run, and that's around the track, and there's a big community event we're doing with it where everybody's going to come run the final mile, and, you know, we're all going to finish together, because that's what this is all about. Is, you know, it's not about what I can do. It's about what we can all do as a community. And I have a whole schedule planned out over the next year and a half at this point. You know, I'm going to run across the state of Utah. I'm going to do a speed project with a group of people. I'm going to do an ultra Murph, which is run a marathon, 1,000 pull-ups, 2,000 push-ups, 3,000 squats, run a marathon in a 30-pound weighted vest.
Terrible.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited. God. I'm excited for that one.
Oh, my God.
I got a 100-miler schedule. So there's like a whole bunch of different things that we have leading up to this. And it's all for training. You know, it's all for training to run across America. And yeah, and then again, Seattle to Miami Beach. until someone proves me wrong, I will be the first person to do that route. I have yet to find someone who's actually run Seattle and Miami Beach. Everybody does LA to New York, all these different things. There's one guy who's done something similar, but it, again, it's not quite the, you know, the way that I'm going. And so until someone proves me wrong there, I haven't found anyone. But as of right now, I'll be the first person to run from Seattle to Miami Beach across the country.
What made you choose that route?
I sat down and I asked my wife, I was like, cause I thought of this and I was like, I want to do this. Like, I need to do this. And, I went to my wife and I was like, what do you want to do before we have kids? Cause we don't have kids yet. And I was like, is there anything you want to do? And we talked about it for a minute and I was like, well, I want to run across America. Can I do that? And she goes, only if I can leave it. And she was like, only if I can live in Miami while you do it. She loves Florida. I don't like Florida. I was like, all right, cool. I'll run to Florida. Like, easy enough. But I don't want to run through Texas. I don't like Texas. And everybody who's run across America that's gone through Texas has just horror stories of running through Texas. You know, there's been a couple of people who have been hit by cars. Like, a lot of the deaths that happen running across America happen in Texas. So I'm just like, I don't want to run through Texas. Well, I love Seattle. That's one of my favorite places. Let's do that. So that's how it happened. It was just like, my wife wanted to live in Miami and I didn't want to run through Texas. So the best way to avoid it was to run from Seattle. So that's why we picked it.
It's fair.
Yeah. There's no like real meaning behind it. I just picked it and we went with it.
So what?
And you have, go ahead.
What states are you going to run through?
Oh, there's 14. Let me see. Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Nebraska, Missouri, Arkansas, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia. I'm missing some. Florida, obviously. I'm missing a few because there's some, it's just corners of the state. Like, I go through the state for like maybe 50 to 100 miles. I think there's one state that I'm only in for like 5 miles. So weird things like that. There's 14 states we pass through though. I think Mississippi's on there. I think again, that's a little corner, but yeah, the big ones are Washington, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Kansas. How did I forget Kansas? Kansas is a huge chunk of it. Kansas, Alabama, and Florida. Those are the really big ones that I'm in for like anywhere from like 3 to, I think I'm going to be in Montana for almost 14 days.
Wow.
Cause it's almost 600 miles in Montana, give or take. So it's such a freaking huge state.
What is the desire to run across the U.S.? Like, where did this come from?
Yeah,
I understand you said that like the foundations and stuff like that, but like there's gotta be something underlining.
A part of it is I've followed transcon runners for years. The first person I found was Hella Sidibe. I always say his last name wrong. Do you know who I'm talking about? Mm. He's the guy who has that crazy run streak that's like 7 years long.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, look him up. Just look up Hella Good. You'll find him on Instagram. I'm shocked.
Oh, okay, yeah. I know Hella Good. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. So I found him when he ran across America. I found him on my day two. I was like, oh, that's freaking awesome. So I watched him. And, Robbie Ballinger and William Googe was who really sparked the desire to do it. You know, because I watched those guys, I'm like, damn, that'd be so cool to do that. Like, just to be able to just go out and just run every day for 2 months and be able to experience the landscape of the United States. Like, that would be unbelievable. And then William Googe did it. And I was like, shit, I think I could actually do this. And but I was like, I gotta have a reason to do it. You know, like when you're day 38 and it's pouring rain outside and 40 mile per hour winds and you gotta go run 50 miles, there's gotta be another reason other than like, I just want to do this to do this, because that's basically the other reason. Is it's just like, I just want to experience the United States for what it is. You know, I think that the media portrays an image of where the US is at now, and not that it's all wrong. You know, I think that, you know, things are kind of a shit show right now, but, you know, really being able to see the people along the way and see what the US really is and experience that along, and, you know, and along the way, being able to support a whole community and support single parents, you know, that that's kind of it. It's just like the accomplishment of doing it, supporting the single parent project and single parents, and then also just seeing America for what it really is, because it really is such a unique place. Like, there's nowhere else in the world that has such a diverse landscape over such a, you know, big mass of land, you know, because you have Russia, but like, it's just the tundra, like it's just one giant forest basically. And, but in the US you get, you know, you get the Northwest, and for my route, you know, you get the Northwest into the Rocky Mountains through the Midwest, you know, down through the savannah, through the swamp and down into the beach. You know, it's such a cool, such a beautiful country when you really think about it. So getting to experience that, I think it's just awesome.
Yeah. What does your support crew look like for something like this?
It's different for everyone. There are people who have done it solo. They just push a baby stroller full of food and clothes and, you know, just do it that way. But then, you know, you can have one guy, like when Hella did it, he just had his wife, and his wife just followed him in the RV and was support crew that way. And then you have people like William Googe who have six people, or Paul, for instance, Paul Johnson, you know, he had six people. And, I don't know if you've seen Andrew Linder, who's doing it right now. He's doing it a 15-pound weighted vest, which is wild. You guys need to go check out what he's doing, because it's absolutely crazy. Again, his name's Andrew Linder, but, he has four guys with him. And so it varies. It depends on the resources you have available, who's willing to come with you, because in reality, it's like,
that's 2 months. Yeah.
Yeah. And William, I don't know how Will did it. I don't know where, like, he got his money and different things along those lines to make it happen. But like, his crew cycled out every like 2 weeks. That would get so expensive. Flights to these like random ass airports in the middle of the US. Like, again, I don't know how he pulled it off, but he pulled it off. But like, that's rare. It's very rare that that's something that can happen. So you really have to find people who can take 2 months of their life. Because my goal is to do it in 69 days. Yes, it's for the joke. It's also because my birthday and my best friend's birthday and my birthday are 69 days apart. So I'm starting on his birthday, ending on my birthday. And also I want to do it in sub 70. But, you know, again, it's 2 months. You have to find a crew that can do it. So my goal is to have three. I want to have three people. I don't think you need more than that. You know, you have one person who runs errands during the day in areas that you can. And then you have one person driving the support vehicle and then the other person crewing. And that way you can get a rotation with the three of them. Mm-hmm. If I could get four, that would be great. But I think three is a safe and healthy, way to do it. So,
yeah. Is the number you're shooting for 50 a day?
I lost you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're still here. You're good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Technical difficulties happen all the time. Yeah, you're still here. You're good.
And it just disconnected the whole thing. Sorry. We're good. What were you saying?
Oh, you're good. is the goal to run 50 a day?
Yep, 49.7 is what I have to run, because it's 3,434 miles on the current route. That's going to change, but that's where we're at. And so, yeah, 49.7 miles per day is what the goal. So I'll run 50. I mean, there's going to be days I only run probably, you know, 35. It's just what happens. But then there's going to be days I crank out 68. It just depends on where you are. Like when I'm running through the Rocky Mountains in Montana, it's obviously going to be a lot harder than when I'm running downhill through the swamps of Florida. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be a lot. Those differences. But so you make it up over time. But the average will be 50 per day. Is the goal?
Cool. Man, that sounds, it just sounds like training for that would just be so hard. You know, it's like, how do you train for something like that? Just
so I've picked Brent. So I had a chance to run with Paul. I ran 33 miles with Paul. I had a chance to run a whole day with Andrew. We ran 42 miles, and I've also been able to talk with a few other people who have done these Transcon runs, and all of them, you know, you run basically 100 miles a week for a couple of months leading up to it. And, you know, you run your races and you do those things and then you just go do it. They all say that the first month is training for the final month.
See that.
Or for the people who, like, one of the guys I talked to, he pushed a baby stroller. And it was like, I spent the first 30 days to train for the last 120 days because it took him like 150 days. and so it's like, wow. But yeah, you basically spend a month of that run. It's just training to run more, which makes sense when you really think about it. So,
yeah, that's insane. What kind of sponsors are you going to pick up for this?
Death March. They're sponsoring this run. And what are you releasing this episode, do you think?
I have no idea.
Okay. Cool. You got to wait till at least after Tuesday for me. I'm going to show you something really cool. This is the, you guys are getting a sneak peek, and they might kill me for showing you, but I'm going to show you anyways. This is a sneak peek at the official artwork for the project from Death March.
Oh, that's
sweet. Yeah, I like that.
Dude, it's so cool. It's so cool. I know that this camera isn't the best, but like, yeah, that's going to be the official artwork. I'm going to put on shirts. It's going to be awesome. Hopefully by the time you, if you just wait till Tuesday to post this at least, then we're golden there. But yeah, you guys will be able to buy those shirts, and we're talking about doing some hats with it and different things. And that's also going to go on whatever RV or trailer we have. It's going to get plastered over it. It's going to be awesome. But
Yeah, cool.
Death March is going to be one. And then honestly, just kind of, you know, anybody that fits the mission, like I'm not just going to accept anyone to be a sponsor. Anyone that fits the mission that, you know, I want to work with, that want to work with me, I'm hoping to find like a big gear, like someone like, you know, like Rab or Goreware or Jack Wolfskin, like someone like that who can provide, you know, like really, really nice rain. Cause I mean, it's going to rain. It's going to be a lot of weather. And so having someone to provide gear like that would be really cool. And also someone to just like help front, you know, a big chunk of change, because it's expensive as hell. When you think about like the gas, think about just driving across America, how much gas that costs. But now you're driving at half speed, a lot of idling, you know, like there's, you know, you're spending triple the amount of gas. And I'm going to have an RV or trailer. I'm actually looking to buy one right now. And so like, you know, you minus that expense from it of having to rent something if you needed to rent something. So it adds up, you know, the cost. And so having a big sponsor that helps pay for something like that would be awesome, but kind of open, you know, we've got our one sponsor right now, and I love it. I love Death March. I think they're great. I love what they're doing. I love their stuff. And I think it fits absolutely perfectly. Like my kind of catchphrase that we've come up with on this is, you know, when you're running across America, every day is a death march. That's why we're partnered with Death March Running Company, because it's every day really is a death march when you're doing something like that. And so it really fits so well. I'm excited that they're excited to be a part of this. And you know, I have my own supplement company, MYB, that will, you know, do a little bit with it as well. And depending on where that's at the time will depend on other things. And yeah, but kind of, you know, open to kind of whoever, wherever, and whoever kind of fits what we're doing.
Well, hopefully somebody in this, listening to this podcast, has a connection and can hook you up.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, the CEO of Nike is just listening to this and will sponsor the whole run. If On is listening, that's my favorite running shoe is.
Yeah, they're, yeah.
So if On wants to sponsor this, let me know.
Mine and Robbie's mom.
But yeah, so it's But yeah, shoes are huge too. I don't know how I didn't even talk about shoes. Having a shoe sponsor would be massive. On is my favorite, and so I would love if, even if they just, you know, threw me some pairs of shoes, that'd be awesome. But yeah.
Are proceeds from those shirt sales going to go to the foundation?
Yes. $10 of every shirt will go to the single parent project. They're selling for $34.34 fitting, and $10 of every shirt gets donated. So, I ask that everybody donates. And if, you know, maybe donating directly to a foundation, you know, you'd rather your money go somewhere else. You know, I get it. Penny pinching. You'd rather get something for what you're spending. That's a great way to donate, is to buy a shirt. You get an awesome shirt with awesome artwork, and you're also getting to donate to a foundation at the same time. So that's a great way to donate. When we get a little bit closer to the run, MYB will have some stuff there as well, where when you buy, you know, some of our products, we'll be donating straight to the single parent project. So there's going to be so many ways to donate. You know, obviously I'd love donations, you know, straight to the single parent project, but there's going to be so many ways to donate as we go along.
Cool.
They're kind of fun and different.
Do you have a goal in mind as far as like the amount of donations you'd like to get over the?
Yeah, I'd love to hit $100,000. $100,000 is cool. The goal. We're obviously not near there, but you know, like with anybody who does something like this, all the donations come in at the end. You know, like that's, you know, you look at Paul, like Paul raised like $350,000 in like 4 days in his last couple of days running across America. And that's just how it goes. You know, people want to see you do it before they donate. But we're going to do it. So we'll hit that number.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, I have a very important question that we've kind of missed a couple times, Robbie. I feel like we need to ask this one. I feel like Mason's got the answer. In all your running adventures, tell us an embarrassing story.
Oh, man. Well, we could talk about the times that I've shit myself, but we've all shit ourselves running. man, embarrassing? Let me think. I'm trying to think of all the stupid things that I've done.
Well, how about we'll come back to that when you
think? Yeah, let's come back to that. I'm going to think about it as we keep talking. Yeah, because I'm like,
you think about it.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm kind of lost at the moment, but yeah, we'll come back to it.
Well, you've already hit on your shoes. What other kind of gear are you using?
I'm really not like. I like my gear, but I'm not super picky. I will say I'm kind of an oddball. I rock a Suunto, always have, always will. I'm not a Garmin guy. I'm not a Coros guy. I wear Suunto. I like Suunto. I think that they make
you might amazing. Be the first person I've ever met to wear one,
dude.
First person on the podcast, that's for sure.
For sure, yeah.
It just like the quality of the stuff that they produce for the price. Like I think it blows everyone out of the water. Like you're getting the same, you know, you might not get all the fun connections that Garmin has because Garmin seems to be partnered with the whole freaking world. But, you know, do we really need 19 different apps to connect to with our Garmin, you know? So, like, honestly, like this watch will last me on full GPS power. It'll last me, I think it's like 65 hours or something like that. I got it for $500. Like it's not, you know, $900 like a Garmin. And I mean, obviously Garmins are amazing watches, but I'm a Suunto guy through and through. I've always had, since day one, I've had a Suunto, and until someone changes my mind, I'm going to keep rocking the Suunto. Headphones, Aftershocks. That's easy. The bone conducting headphones are the way to go with running. It keeps you safe. They're comfortable. Good quality, like sound. I really like those. Outside of that, it's pretty random. I'm not like, I wear a crop top I wear a crop top when I run. Outside of that, like I have just random rain jackets that I'll wear when it's rainy. I just wear whatever tights that I have when it's cold. There's like no like in vests. I just have my vest that I bought. It was a Nathan vest. I just rock it. I'd love to get a Solomon vest, but I got to pay my tuition first. And, you know, like, yeah. And then as far as like trail shoes, cause I'm a trail runner at heart. I'm not a road runner, but I'm out in Missouri. So what else the hell am I supposed to do besides road run? I actually have never tried On's trail running shoes, but Nike Pegasus is my go-to trail running shoe. I've gone through four pairs of Nike Pegasus trails, about 400 miles of pop on each of them.
Wow.
They're the longest lasting shoes I've had out of all my trail shoes. Most of them die out. Just I'm a heavy guy, and so my shoes go out quick. You know, like I just like that extra pressure on the shoe, on the sole, just breaks them down quicker. But the Nike Pegasus, they all day long. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm kind of random with it. I wouldn't say there's anything else real specific besides the watch, the headphones, and the shoes.
Yeah, cool. Well, who is somebody from your network? And it seems like your network is pretty diverse of all the individuals that you know, but who's somebody that we should have on the podcast? It would be kind of interesting if you mentioned somebody from the Spartan world, because we've never had a Spartan racer on.
I've got a few. So one of them, his name's Nate Williams. He is a huge inspiration for my ultra running. Huge inspiration for my ultra running. I've paced him in some races. He's coming to do some pacing for me in the 24-hour run. He is incredible. I'm so upset he won't get more into social media, because like he got third. I think it was third place in the Moab 240 the year David Goggins got second place. He almost got the triple crown, but that giant forest fire in Tahoe, in California that closed the Tahoe 200, he wasn't able to run it, or else he would have gotten the triple crown. He gets first and second place in these massive 100-mile, 200-mile races all the time. The dude is a freak of nature when it comes to ultra running, because I've never seen him eat a healthy food. He drinks Coke and eats Fritos and then goes and runs 200 miles. It is absolutely insane, and I don't know how he does it, because if I eat Coke and Fritos, I would die. So, but again, he's unbelievable what he does. Nate Williams, or Nathan Williams, 100% should be on the show. Another guy, Sam Schaefer. He's someone I've met out here, actually. And he just ran his first marathon. He's dabbling into the ultra running world as we speak. But he's an amputee. He only has one leg. And just what he's done, just what he's done with his running has been phenomenal. Like there's not very many amputees that are running, let alone running marathons, let alone trying to run ultra marathons. I think he has an ultra marathon actually coming up at the end of this year, or in a couple of weeks here. He is someone else. He's 100% someone else should be on. And then from the Spartan world, I'm going to get her last name wrong. Her name's Kate. I think it's just Kate Frump. I'll send you her info. She's also someone who just absolutely kills it in the Spartan world. And also does ultra running as well. But Spartan is like her main deal. And I met her running Cirque Series. I don't know if you're familiar with those races.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, they're small races. Like they're like, you know, I think they're only like 8 miles or something like that. Some of the hardest races I've ever run in my life. But I met her running those. And she's awesome. And what she's done in Spartan is pretty freaking cool. So those are my three.
Great. Well, you've had time to think on it. So now you have your embarrassing story.
Dude, so it's hard to really think about when everything I do is just like kind of alone. Like all my friends, they're not runners. None of my friends are really runners. Like I've met friends running, but like all of my like really close friends are not runners. So like all the embarrassing things that have happened to me, I've been alone. So it's not really embarrassing because no one has witnessed the embarrassing things that have happened, between shitting myself and, different falls and again, I've been very, very lucky that the embarrassing things that have happened to me have happened with no one in sight. So I didn't have to be embarrassed because I was alone. So,
well, if it's embarrassing to you, it's got to be embarrassing to us.
Yeah. Fair. I mean, honestly, though, the majority of things that have happened, I would say just shitting myself. I feel like that's one of the most embarrassing things that can just happen to a person, and doing it while running and then having to continue running because you have to get to where you're going. That's it for me.
That's the best. That's awesome. Well, Mason, where can people find you? Where can people find the project? Your website?
Yeah.
Go ahead and shout it out.
Yeah, so Buff Runner on Instagram, Buff Runner on YouTube. I post on TikTok, but you can go follow if you want Buff Runner as well. YouTube and Instagram are my go-tos. I have a website, buffrunner.com. On there, you can find the project. You can't miss it. It's a giant map of America of my whole thing. You can't miss it. It's one of the first things that you see. You can read about the project there, who we're working with, what we're doing, our upcoming races. You can donate to the Single Parent Project there. You can also go to the singleparentproject.com or just singleparentproject.com and donate, or .org and donate there. Those are the places you can find me. I'll talk with anyone, message me, reach out. I'd love to run with people. I love to hear people's stories as well. Just engaging with the community. So
awesome. When are the shirts dropping?
They drop, I think we're announcing them Tuesday, and then they drop Wednesday. We're announcing them on Tuesday. You'll be able to see the artwork in more glory, but it's
sweet.
It's
awesome.
The artwork's so cool. It has the word project. It shows, so the P is the Space Needle in Seattle. And then it shows all the different landscapes that I'll run through. It has the Rocky Mountains, it has the plains, has Savannah, it has the peach trees, from Georgia. And then the last one is Miami Beach, the iconic, neon colored lifeguard house that's in South Beach. It has that in the final T of project.
That's cool. Super cool.
Super. And then obviously you saw the American flag, and then the Statue of Liberty is holding a squeeze water bottle with the long tube, and then the book is a box of shoes. It's great. And then the Statue of Liberty has a mustache for the
perfect
for the stash.
I'll definitely have to get one.
Too.
I'll have to get one.
They're great. I know. I love that all three of us have got the stash going.
Yeah,
it's great.
It's awesome.
It's the only thing.
Mason, thanks so much for coming on, man. It was it's been a blast.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I love sharing my story and meeting new people and hearing all of it. So
absolutely. I can't wait to follow the project over the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll be in a spot where we can throw some miles down together too.
Dude, that would be awesome. Anybody can come run with me in any of this stuff. I want to run with people. I'm going to have a live tracker when I run across America. And I want people to come run with me. I want people to fall in love with the sport because running is absolutely amazing. It's changed my life, and I love running and I want other people to love running. And
yeah,
being able to connect with people while running is also just such a great way to connect. And so please come run with me when I'm, whether you've wanted to come run for the, you know, during the 24 hours, if you want to come run when I'm doing all my other shit, like running across Utah, when I run across America, all the different things. Like, I want to run with people. So let's run together.
Awesome. Well, y'all go check him out. Go follow him on Instagram, buy the shirt, and let's get this $100,000 raised.
Let's do it.